It's podcast time, jump aboard. This podcast won a award from a site called The Poke. I don't know what that is. Breakfast XFM, it's Danny. With Specs on XFM,
it's Danny.
It's Breakfast XFM,
it's Danny.
Yes, we are XFM.
Danny Wallace.
Hello there, welcome to podcast number 34 from the XFM Breakfast Show with me, Danny Wallace. On this week's podcast, top comic Boothby Graffo. We'll play Quiz You, Quiz Me. There's good news aplenty. We'll talk about potatoes and Vickers, proofreading leaflets and Dappy's Badger news. Imagine the internet is the earth, this podcast is the sea. Come swim in me.
Yes, we are XFM.
Danny Wallace.
Caller number two, what's your name and where'd you come from?
Hi, Danny, my name's Gareth and I'm from Hoddesdon.
Hey. Hi, Gareth. How are you this morning?
I'm good. I'm feeling good.
I think everyone in the studio was a bit surprised when that happened just then. I thought it worked terrifically. Now, Gareth, what is it in your immediate vicinity right now? Just give us a quick 360, a little spin around.
I'm on the M25, actually.
Do not spin around. Do not spin around. Keep moving in a consistent and unsurprising manner. What's the M25 like this morning?
Yeah, it's all right. It's magical. there is fawns running across the road. I'm not even driving. Little birds are lifting my van and carrying me there.
M. Good morning, it's the XFM Breakfast Show. My name's Danny Wallace, and it's an honour to be sitting next to the man that I'm currently sitting next to. He is one of the only men, and this is the standard thing that everyone has to say, but he is named after a small Lincolnshire village. It's Boothby Graffo, everybody! Yes. Here he is. Hi,
Good
Boothby.
Morning. Good morning.
I've followed your career for years and years. I've watched you for years and years.
Have you really?
Yes, of course I have. You know that very well. Edinburgh's past, various festivals, when you were doing your own Radio 4 show. I mean, you enjoy such a kind of a diverse career in comedy.
I've had a good time. Yeah, it's been very good to me. The profession.
Yeah.
It has been very good to me. I've managed to do lots of things that I wanted to do.
Absolutely.
And now I'm. What am I doing now? Singing.
You're singing exactly. You've always used music in your comedy, but this is a different thing. You've got a new album out.
Yes, I have. Yes.
Bang! Is this your vehicle, sir?
That is correct.
Why is it called that?
It's called that because of Malcolm Hardy. Shall I tell my Malcolm Hardy story?
Yes. Malcolm Hardy, of course, is a legendary comedian who never really did things by the book.
No. He died in the way he lived, in a totally ridiculous way.
Yes.
Yes, fell off a boat.
He fell off a boat.
But the title of it comes, this is a Malcolm Hardy story. He was walking through Greenwich. I tell this on stage, actually, so I'm actually crushing my own act, but never mind. He was walking through Greenwich, and a car, about 11:30 at night, a car came screaming around the corner without any lights and shot off down the street, and then followed closely by a police car with sirens blazing and lights are flashing, came screaming around the corner after him, clipped the curb and turned upside down and screamed to a metal on tarmac halt with the two policemen held upside down by their seatbelts. And Malcolm, without a pause, looked down at them and said, "Is this your vehicle, sir?"
He was amazing. I mean, yeah, incredible, proper sort of London character.
Hell of a bloke, yeah.
Well, the famous story about Malcolm Hardy, of course, is that he stole someone's cake.
Freddie Mercury's birthday cake, yes.
Yeah. Have you heard this man?
No.
This guy, Malcolm Hardy, stole Freddie Mercury's birthday cake.
Wow.
Yeah. Absolutely true.
He went to his party and there was the cake there and no one had touched it.
Yeah.
And so Malcolm said to Martin Sohn, he was with, we're having it. And they did, they nicked the whole cake, and they ended up with the police coming round trying to find this cake, seriously, proper CID, looking for a cake.
Looking for Freddie Mercury.
Freddie was upset.
What Malcolm and Martin did was they cut it up and they gave it to an old people's home. They gave little bits of cake, it's huge.
Very much the Robin Hood of the cake game. Yeah.
But Martin said they were round his house with magnifying glasses looking for crumbs. They were looking for crumbs.
An extraordinary character, and so you've captured some of the spirit of Malcolm Hardy.
Yep.
For that, I've been listening to it on my phone. This is the proof. It's my phone. There's an element. In a moment or two, we'll play some of my favourite ones. England, for example.
You like that one?
I love that one.
Oh, good. I'm glad you like that one. I'm trying to get that one into the Olympics for It could
best
be
of luck. Best of luck. Best of luck with that.
No, but when it starts, the first opening refrain could be sung.
Oh, absolutely.
By a huge choir.
If you ignore the rest of the lyrics.
Yes.
Well, let's hear a bit now from Boothby's new album. This is from Bang, Is This Your Vehicle, Sir? In honour of Malcolm Hardy, which is a lovely thing. And let's have a few moments of England.
England, land of beauty, wondrous birds and weird mammalia. Endless sun-kissed beaches, ooh no, hang on, that's Australia. So let us spell your name out, E is for England, obviously, N is for, no, can't think of one, G and L and A are difficult, N is for, no, still can't think of one, D is the mark I got in my music exam, and here I am, playing this song as best I can. So up yours, Mr. Sedgwick. You were never a very good music teacher anyway. Smelly, smelly Sedgwick. Poo, poo, plop, plop. Smelly Sedgwick pants.
England by Boothby Graffo.
X.
FM. Here's a strange story, though. I mean, what would make a terrific present for a lady?
Flowers. Perhaps.
Some flowers from that. What did you give Katie for Mother's Day yesterday?
I got her some flowers and chocolates.
Boom, perfect.
And made a breakfast and took her for lunch.
Did you?
Yeah, she did very well.
Did you take her to the Indian curry house buffet in the newsagents that you
I tried to. She wasn't falling for
it. No. Well, a set of earplugs which helped Britain win World War II, if you can believe that, will be sold for at least £2,000. Wouldn't that be a lovely, very expensive gift, maybe for like a diamond anniversary or something. I got you these, they help win the war. The beeswax earplugs, once worn by Winston Churchill during his afternoon naps, are being auctioned off for charity. Because he'd need power naps, you know, when he was running the country. And so he'd nap, so he'd have these. But they're also being sold with a plaster cast of his ears. So you could go, thank you for 50 years of marriage. Here is a plaster cast of Winston Churchill's ears, along with some beeswax earplugs that an old man wore 70 years ago, something like that. I mean, would that be nice?
I'm not sure.
Okay, you mean no?
No.
What's the strangest thing you've bought, Matt, or that you own, or that's in your house?
John Lennon bird feeder. It's a picture of it.
What are you talking about? John Lennon bird feeder.
I saw it in Cornwall a couple of years ago.
Good Lord,
someone
look at
had decided this. To get a little wooden carving of John Lennon and turn into a bird feeder.
It's a very sort of simian John Lennon. It's like a monkey, ape-like John Lennon. It's like a little coconut almost, with long hair, little glasses. And John Lennon bird feeders, $3.99.
It's a bargain, wasn't it?
That's an incredible bargain. This has to be posted right now on the Facebook page. We'll stick this on Facebook, / XFM Breakfast Show. Have you got anything weird, Dave? Do you ever buy anything a bit odd?
Yeah, I once bought a life-size cardboard cutout of Emilio Estevez.
Was it on sale?
I think I got it from eBay myself, but it was because I was a massive fan of the Mighty Ducks.
Not even Young Guns?
No, it was Mighty
not
Ducks.
Even, not even the Sheen family? You just loved Mighty Ducks.
Loved Mighty
what
Ducks.
What do you think of the sequel out of interest?
Sequel wasn't so great. It's all like the original, yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. I own probably the largest, I say probably, definitely, the largest private collection of black and white photographs of East Anglian table tennis teams of the 1950s and early 1960s.
Wow.
Absolutely true.
Yeah.
I've got currently, I think, around 8 in my house. I just saw them and just started getting them off this market. And you had one and you thought, well, I can't leave that one there. And so now I've got loads of them. And my plan one day is to buy a table tennis table and some trophies off eBay and put these all around the house so people think I'm enormously good at table tennis. And then when they ask me, I just go, no, I don't play at all. Just a big fan of the East Anglians.
We are the greatest goddamn radio station on the planet. XFM.
You're back with the XFM Breakfast Show, and our guest today is the marvellous Boothby Graffo. He's here.
Ah, hello.
We were talking about how comedy has treated you and how you have treated comedy, and you're one of the hardest working comics kind of out there doing the festivals and all over the circuit.
Well, I did it with my act. I had to travel with my act. I had to travel everywhere.
Yeah, had to keep moving.
I think that was supposed to be Jackie Mason. It wasn't very good, was it?
Hey, Jackie Mason was one of the last people to sit in that chair.
Really? Gosh, yeah. Am I on his hallowed buttock?
I think something's happened. Yeah, you're channeling
it. Wow.
But also, I mean, people may not know this about you. You went off to America at one point.
Yeah, briefly, yeah.
To have your own sitcom. Who else was it? Was it Jolie Richardson?
Jolie Richardson, yes. She was the star.
A pilot. Oh, I see. And what were you in this?
I was like foil to her, her character, yeah. They didn't pick it up.
Right.
They didn't.
They don't pick most things up.
No, but they did make it. It's very interesting. I made some terrible decisions
like
when I was over there. Well, I'm a terrible cynic, you see. I'm not a big fan of TV.
Right.
Because I'm not a big fan of advertising.
I hope you didn't open with this.
Well, this is the trouble. I was at a soiree. They had lots of soirees, and I was invited to this soiree, and this guy came and sat down next to me, and he had this incredibly broken leg. It was architecture around it. There was metal frame all around his leg holding it together. He really smashed it up, and he sort of came over in these crutches, and it took him a good 5-10 minutes to sit down. And he said, "So, young man, what do you think about American TV?" I said, "Well, it's trappings for car commercials, isn't it?" And he said, "Well, that's very interesting. What do you mean by that?" And I said, "Well, if you look at The Simpsons in the British Isles, it's actually about a minute and a half longer than it is in America. Because in America, you add more adverts, and you have an advert, then the titles, then an advert, then a bit of it. So you're actually not entertaining people so much as just trying to corral them into a situation."
And was the guy still there when you finished that sentence?
This is the unfortunate thing. He, having spent a good 10 minutes sitting down after I finished, he just went, "Okay." And then there was another 10 minutes as he got back on his crutches, crawled his way out, and hopped off. And after he'd hopped off, my agent at the time came over and said, "How did that go?" And I said, "I don't think it went terribly well." "Who was it?" He said, that's the head of the company that's paying for your pilot."
Oh, no. correction, was paying for the Boothby, it's been a great pleasure. Thank you so much for swinging by today.
Is that it?
It's kind of it, yeah. It's a fast-moving commercial show. We've got adverts to put out there. Lots of other weird things. A teenager thought she'd do a little prank, right? A little prank. And she wanted to text just a random number. And she thought this would be funny just to go, it's a bit, you know, it's just a joke. It's just going, "I hit the body. Now what?" Right? And it implies that some bungling criminal has kind of texted their friend or whatever. So she sent it to this random number. But the random number turned out to be that of a detective.
Oh, no way.
Who decided that this was a case he had to crack. Luckily, it was pretty easy to crack. You just ring the number back and go, "I'm a detective, you piece of texted me this." You wouldn't get a whole Columbo out of it, would you?
No.
But you might get, just, you know, an anecdote somewhere.
Oh, of all the chances, eh?
What are the chances of that, huh? Brian May, Queen rocker, Queen guitarist.
Yeah.
He's hanging around with Dappy quite a lot, isn't he?
He is, yeah. They're real friends.
They're buddies now.
It's the most unexpected bromance of the year.
It really is. They collaborated, didn't they, on a Dappy guitar?
A song, yeah.
Wasn't it a Dappy guitar as well? Didn't Dappy want his face on a guitar?
I think so. Yeah.
Well, now Brian's called that favour in. So Dappy has joined the fight to stop a badger cull. Natural guy you call on. Now, badger culls are bad. We don't want them. But neither do we think that Dappy is the acceptable face of this. The Queen guitarist talked to End Up star Dappy when they teamed up on the single Rockstar, as you mentioned, Matt. May said Dappy believes killing badgers to prevent bovine TB is a terrible last resort. And it is, right?
But it's the sort of thing Dappy says, isn't it? He's always saying
he's just walking around. Just Brian May and Dappy. And Dappy's going, "I'm telling you, killing badgers to prevent bovine TB, Brian. It's a terrible last resort." And he goes, "And what's more, you can quote me on that."
Yeah, that is so Dappy.
Yeah. That would be a terrific sitcom, wouldn't it? Like, "That's So Raven." Yeah. That's so Dappy. Dappy, man. Well, good work, Dappy. It's great you've lent your support to this, but I sort of think probably he just went, "Just say whatever you want, Brian. Just please stop ringing me." His phone goes off and it's Brian May again. "What do you want now?"
Just because we got him to work together on that song, he keeps getting in touch.
He just keeps getting in touch and talking about badgers. I mean, it is, you know, killing badgers is a terrible last resort, you know, but we must prevent bovine TB. That's what Dappy says. Hey, you were away, right? So you don't know this. Dave, what are you doing at 3 o'clock today?
Come on.
What are you doing at 3 o'clock?
It's not a badger colour, is it?
He's teaming up with Dappy to stop malaria.
It's much more exciting than that. I am proofreading leaflets.
That's what he's doing.
What?
At 3 o'clock.
What?
They was going across town to proofread a leaflet because when he was drunk, he got some kind of marketing email saying, would you like to come and proofread a leaflet for £30? He wrote back and went, I'm there.
Yeah, why not?
Just that sort of that gregariousness you get when you're drunk. And you go, nothing's a problem. The sun is shining. I'm off. So why now not? You've committed and you've got to come proofread a leaflet.
It's been moved to 4 p.m.
Has it? But get this. Well, that causes trouble because work experience Steve also got the email and said he would do it. He was booked in at 4. So are you just sitting together, you and Steve, proofreading leaflets at 4?
I heard it was a one-on-one thing, so I don't know whether we're in different rooms or...
What do you mean one-on-one?
Apparently, you sit and proofread the leaflet while someone watches you
proofread. What?
To check what?
It sounds more ridiculous the more I try and explain it.
Someone watches you proofread a leaflet for 45 minutes and you get £30. Why is someone watching you proofread a leaflet? Why don't they proofread the leaflet?
I shall report back tomorrow with all my findings. I don't know what's going to happen.
He's going to be watched.
What kind of leaflet is this?
I don't know yet.
It's just like a pizza shop or what?
Dave, what are you doing with your life?
So weird.
We are XFM.
We have someone on the line ready to play, don't we, Dave?
We do.
Caller, what's your name and where'd you come from?
Oh, I'm Gary. I'm from Poacher Bates in Farningham.
Hey! Excellent work. We're trying that out as a new thing. Probably won't be doing it for much longer. Gary, you should know the rules of Quiz Face by now. Let's get quizzical.
Quiz Face.
Okay. Well, bit of a twist this week, Gary. Ordinarily, of course, it is I who is or am in charge. Is or am is just a cue short of quiz or am. One of the all-time great Quiz Face episodes. Yeah. But what is or am Quiz Face, this AM or am? Well, it's quiz you, quiz me.
Quiz you, quiz me.
Right, quiz you, quiz me. Just familiarising myself with the rules again. Okay. Page 9. Okay, so Chloe says here, you have to spin around in your chair and tell me which way you end up pointing.
Okay, spinning now.
Okay, spinning away. Spinning very quick.
Whoa!
Well-oiled. All right, bring it down now. Chloe.
Oh, north.
North. On the quiz clock, Gary, of course, that's 12 a.m. or 12 p.m., depending on the time. This, therefore, is for 12 points. So, caller. Basic question. Do you want to quiz you or quiz me?
Quiz me.
You're saying quiz me. You've chosen to quiz me.
Quiz me.
Okay, that means it's a question for me. Chloe, spin around in your chair. Tell me which way you end up pointing. She's off again. Little legs in the air. Legs now returning to a vertical position. Chloe.
North again.
All right, another 12 points up for grabs, Gary. Let's lower the lights. That's perfect. Here we go. I'm opening the envelope.
Envelope.
Gary, the envelope is open.
Envelope.
Gary, I'm holding today's question card in my little hands. I'm going to read it now. Let's start the 20-second timer. Okay. I am a man from history. You know me as Napoleon. But who am I? You know me as Napoleon. Well, there was Napoleon Bonaparte, of course, the French military and political leader during the latter stages of the French Revolution. That's actually written at the bottom of the card here in the same font. It does look genuine. Okay. The timer has run out.
You can't trust anyone in this quiz me, quiz you, can you? That's the appeal.
What? Hey?
You can't even trust your own mother in this game, can you?
All right, yeah. I'm just doing this.
Well, everything you know is wrong. It's unsettling.
You're unsettling.
I'm just saying, it's a wonderful format.
Okay, well, look, the time has run out. I have to answer. Gary, I'm going to say Napoleon Bonaparte. I'm locking that in. Gary, are you happy to lock that in?
Lock it in.
You're certain?
Yes.
Lock it in. Okay, Gary, that answer is now in the vault. The vault is impenetrable. That means we'll never know if it was correct or not. There's just no way of finding out. It's, you've locked that away. So game over. Thank you very much indeed for playing. It's a shame. It's a shame. We need to work on the format a bit, don't we? It's just kind of one of those sort of little format points that we've got to come up with a way of...
There is one last way for them to win the tickets, Danny, of course.
Well, no, because Gary locked it. The vault is
no, but Chloe got a double north, so that's 2 12s makes a 24. There are 24 letters in the alphabet,
oh, yeah.
And the word alphabet contains all the vowels,
yeah.
Meaning we need an answer that contains no vowels whatsoever.
All right, well, what's the question then?
Well, complete the sentence, please. We are...
He said it! Oh, thank God!
XFM.
Shall we get the good news from all over the place? So much good news. So many things are happening. You know Billy, 12, from Boreham Wood?
Oh, yes.
Well, he's not 12 anymore.
Oh. Yeah.
You know how I know this?
Oh.
He signs this one, Billy, 13, from Boreham Wood.
Oh.
Well done, Billy. He says, good news, guys. My dad's swearing has reached new heights. Words I did not know existed have come to the fore as Mark... brackets, let's name and shame him, close brackets, spouts language worthy of a sailor on shore leave. Generally, once on the Xbox Live playing Battlefield. I told Dad he should be like Mum and use speech with cut glass diction. His response to this is unrepeatable. However, the guinea pig winced. Mum has now banned the Xbox and my swear cup runneth over. Billy from Boreham Wood, everybody.
That's a typical 13-year-old text.
He's amazing. He's like Matilda.
Wow, he
Go
is.
On,
good news, guys, from a confirmed listener who wishes to remain anonymous.
Oh.
When babysitting last night, my 2-year-old cousin mimicked me when I let slip a very rude word. When the parents came home, I grassed him up as if I were mortally offended and thus had them questioning each other as to which one of them swore in front of the kid. I am in the clear.
He's in the clear, everybody!
Good news.
Good work. Stuart, also in the world of babies, says, good news, guys. Although my twin toddlers fell asleep during last night's epic In the Night Garden, I still continued watching to its exciting conclusion. That's good. That's good news. Rudy, what is your good news?
Good news, everybody. I just drove past the ginger skinny Elvis lookalike. God bless us all.
God bless us all indeed, Rudy, for that magical moment. Matt.
Good news, guys. I found not one, but two previously undiscovered cubby holes in my car today.
Oof.
A very pleased Christian in Woking. Another car-related one.
Oh, yeah.
Good news, guys. My colleague just quit, so I will get his shiny new Passat and dump my ratty Volvo.
Oh, good news, guys. Got told by a local lad that I looked rather dapper and sharp in my suit and that I was an upstanding member of the community. What he actually said was, that suit's like well sharp blood. You look sweet, man. I'm going to get me a suit like that when I get a job in it. You get me? That's what he said. And Samantha in Maidstone, what is your good news?
Good news, guys. A man on my bus has a beard so epic, I could have lived in it quite happily for some time.
It's always lovely seeing a man with a giant beard and imagining yourself forming a small habitat within that beard. That's not good news. That's great news. Keep us abreast of the beard-based situation, Samantha.
XFM.
Good morning. It's the XFM Breakfast Show with me, Danny Wallace. It's 7:08, and the voice you just heard there is one of our brave men going out there, going into battle, heading out for the Olympics. Well, not really heading out, more staying in London. It's Larry Godfrey, everybody. Hello, Larry.
We're in London.
How are you, Larry?
I'm great, thanks, yeah.
Now, we were given a list, Larry, of athletes that we could talk to. We chose you. We went for the big LG. We went Godfrey.
Very,
you know?
Very privileged. Thank you.
No worries. And you are an archer. You're part of the archery team. You're very much the David Beckham of the archery world.
Oh, thanks very much.
Sorry, I just said that. I've got no evidence for it whatsoever. But that's how we're going to treat you from now on. And we're going to be following you.
Cool.
All the way to the Olympics. We are Team Godfrey.
Like
not just
it,
us,
like
but
it.
Everyone listening as well.
Cracking.
So tell us about yourself.
Bristol, born and bred.
Excellent.
And I've been doing archery for 26 years now, so...
26 years, yeah. Man and boy.
Yeah.
How old are you now, do you mind me asking?
35.
35, all right, so yeah. You started when you were 9 or so.
Yeah, yeah.
Why didn't you start earlier?
Mum and Dad. Blame them.
Really? Yeah. They wouldn't let you run around with incredibly dangerous objects?
Exactly.
What's wrong with them?
They're very sharp.
They? Yeah. You brought your bow in as well. Have, it's, yeah. You know, there's a big, big case there. And do you have a name for the bow?
Not an individual name, no. 2011, actually, that one is.
It's called 2011?
Yeah, and the one I've got for this year is 2012.
You're kidding me.
Joke it.
That's the way you do it.
Sweet.
So you don't call him, like, Maggie or anything like that?
Yeah.
Oh, come on, Larry. You've got to take this seriously. You're going to triumph on behalf of the XFM listeners.
That's a little bit too personal.
Today at 11 or so, now, you're wearing some form of Olympic tracksuit underneath. There it is. Now, is this... No, this is 2011.
No, this is the archery...
This is the proper archery one.
Yeah, this is yeah.
But at 11, aren't they unveiling the brand new kit?
Yeah, this is at 11 o'clock, they're raising the Stella McCartney, creative director, yeah. Adidas.
Done the whole thing. So yeah. Stella McCartney has designed the tracksuits. Is there part of you that worries, if you haven't seen this tracksuit, what if she's gone a bit crazy? What if it's like...
It's going to be... I know it's going to be...
What if it's sequins?
Great.
What if you look like you're off Strictly Come Dancing?
I don't bother me.
No?
It's all about the arrows at the end of the day.
All the others, they'll be laughing at you, Larry. You'll be in skin-tight sequins with a bow. With Maggie.
I might have green tights.
Really?
And a few feathers.
Yeah, any of that would be good. Listen, because you are representing the XFM listeners, because that is now your calling in life, I've prepared a short speech for you.
Brilliant.
Can we get some... We'll get some echo on Larry's voice. Larry, you haven't seen this at all. I hope you can read, otherwise I'll have to do it in a Bristol accent.
Really?
Yeah. So here we go. We'll whack some echo on him. This, ladies and gents, is our Olympic hero representing XFM, not just Britain, but XFM. It's Larry Godfrey.
I hereby promise and swear that I, Larry Godfrey, will do my duty, not just by my queen, not just by my country, but by Radio Breakfast Show.
Yes.
I will do my best to win gold at the Olympics. I will allow nothing to fog my concentration. Nothing but the XFM Breakfast Show with Danny Wallace. Because I'm doing this for you guys, I'm doing this for Joe and for Dartford. I'm doing this for Polish Martin on site every morning, nice and early. I'm doing this for Paul and Ian in the van. For Nobby in Camden.
Yeah. What? I know that sounds a bit rude, but I promise it's listening.
For Teacher Ellie.
Teacher Ellie.
Okay, Teacher Ellie. I am Larry Godfrey, champion archer. And this one is for the listeners of XFM Breakfast Show. Let's win gold together.
Let's win gold together, everyone. It's Larry Godfrey. We are XFM. Learning so much about Dave on the XFM Breakfast Show. It's almost extraordinary, the last half an hour, what I've learned about you. That when you get drunk, you sign up for proofreading.
Yeah. I've really come out of my shell, haven't I?
Really? You blossomed. You blossomed on the first day of spring.
Yeah.
Just found out that in Las Vegas, city of hotels, there's hotels everywhere.
Oh, you
hotels,
can't move for
them. There's motels, there's expensive hotels, there's cheap hotels, there's Hooters. And where did you stay?
I stayed in Hooters.
You stayed in Hooters.
And it was all right.
You stayed in Hooters.
Good fun.
And were you allowed to stay there? It wasn't a proper hotel thing. You weren't just, like, curling up under a table.
No, I was allowed to, and it wasn't a dare.
Why, out of all the hotels in Las Vegas, did you choose Hooters?
Because it looked like fun, and actually, my girlfriend Hannah wanted to. It was like a lifelong ambition of hers.
Hang on. What do you mean it was a lifelong ambition?
No, obviously not a lifelong ambition.
Was to go to America and sleep in a Hooters.
But it's very American, isn't it?
So you made that. You never saw that on Surprise Surprise, did you? Do you know what I mean? We're whisking you away to Las Vegas so you can spend the night in a Hooters. That's very,
hey,
strange thing to do.
You can get chicken wings for 99 cents.
Yeah, and you can't get that anywhere else.
We are the greatest goddamn radio station on the planet. XFM.
Let's talk about Marmite. Because in New Zealand, there's a Marmite shortage and people are panicking. We had the great butter shortage of Norway recently, didn't we? Well, now it's Marmite over in New Zealand. And they're being told to spread sparingly because stocks haven't arrived. And they're being told to spread it on toast but not bread because bread sucks up too much Marmite. So it's like a proper thing. It's like a government initiative.
Really?
Well, it seems that way, certainly. I mean, it is hard. I lived on a desert island in New Zealand for 4 months. Sounds a bit odd to say that, but I did.
Yeah.
So, it does take a while for things to arrive over there. It's as far away as you can possibly be.
Yeah.
From stocks.
Well, you should only ever spread a very slight amount of Marmite on any item of bread anyway.
You're amazing this morning with tips.
Yeah.
You know what it is?
It's true.
Spring.
Yeah.
controversy this morning already. We're mentioning that spring has sprung, first day of spring. Yeah. Other people saying, no, it's the last day of winter. You know, you checked, didn't you? I've left this with you.
Checked three times.
You checked. I've got visual checks.
Yeah.
You can't move for little ducklings out there. Have you been in Leicester Square this morning? It's just little ducklings all around Leicester Square, all down Charing Cross Road. Just children skipping. No, do you see all those children skipping hand in hand? Children of all nations as well. I think racism stopped this morning. There's a rainbow there. So people are in love. You can see that couple out there, Dave. See that couple on that bench out there?
Yeah.
He's just made her a giant Easter egg, hasn't he? Just made out of dreams and love.
Yeah. They do look happy.
It's better than winter, isn't it? Winter's like... If spring is a series of little tiny skipping children and the end of racism, winter is like this grumpy old man in a brown coat just shouting at you in your garden, isn't he? Throwing rocks at your window, taunting you. That's what winter's like.
Yeah.
I think we should say goodbye to winter today. Whether it's the last day of winter or the first day of spring, it's in your face, winter. What do you want to say to winter, Dave?
In your face, winter. Yeah. Oh, look at me, I'm winter, I'm wet and cold and rubbish.
Yeah.
Well, it's over, you silly Billy, you numbskull, you big meanie.
Yeah.
You're dead to us.
Good for
in
you.
The words of George Michael and Elton John, don't let the sun go down on me.
No, absolutely. Those are strong words, Dave. Yeah. It was a bold move. In your face, winter, bye-bye, you seasonal nit. The dark mornings are behind us, you've been. This is what annoys me about winter. You've been coasting on Christmas too long, haven't you? Let it go. It's time to come up with something else to hang your seasonal glories on. Stop going on about winter. We've got Christmas. Oh, I've got Christmas. Up your game, winter. It's all about spring now. We are... Larry, it turns out, has to go in a moment because he's going to do a fashion show. That's a sentence I've never said, Larry.
Yes, I've got my hair and makeup done.
Right. Showing off the new tracksuits.
Yeah,
the new kit.
The Adidas kit, yeah.
Man, I hope that Stella McCartney hasn't, you know, she wasn't going through a weird time when she was designing this. Do you know what I mean? You got all the other countries there, Dave. You got, you know, Korea looking sharp over there, the Americans in red, white and blue, and then Larry rocks up in a tiny pair of sequin hot pants and a miniature top hat just off to the right of his head. Well, we'll be watching. Larry Godfrey is with us. He is the official XFM Olympian, and we are naming his bow, his archery bow this morning. You have come through in your droves. Let's get some appropriate music. Oh. I think Dave's never listened to Radio 4 because we were going to get the Archers theme tune.
Yeah, this goes into the Archers.
Oh, does it?
This bit, they don't. This is the.
Oh, here we are. That's more like it. This is the official Larry Godfrey theme tune that will be played out over the PA systems at the London Olympics whenever he walks down the street in his little hot pants. So this is for a confirmed listener mug, Larry. You have no idea how important this is. So we are
serious,
going to. Yeah. David Bowie, says someone. Your thoughts? Okay. Placebo, we've already dealt with. Your thoughts? No. What about Sir Gareth says Edith the Bowman? Fundamentally misunderstanding we are XFM and this is our XFM, exactly. Naming it after a DJ from a rival station. Matt, what you got over there?
A couple more band-related ones. Rick suggests Bowasis.
Oh,
that's good.
That's very on target.
Elbow.
Yes.
Oh, I like that.
Phil from
That'd be better for a Spanish archer.
Yes, possibly, yeah. also, other ones, Frosty the Bowman from Gareth.
Yeah. What about Bo Peep, says Matty J. Harry Bow.
Harry,
you know
that
what?
One, that one.
I only understood that when I read it out loud. I thought maybe it was a footballer or something. That's not bad. Yeah. Okay, that's a contender. They'll be very happy. Bo Derek. Because it's manly, isn't it? It's manly yet feminine. Okay. Yeah. Why not call it Ram? As in Rambo, says Ben and Beckenham.
That's good.
Thinking of that? No, nothing. Bo Diddley?
No.
No? He's very against Bo Diddley. Yeah. Any others then?
Bodicea.
Oh, that's not bad.
Lucy in Kent. Yeah. No? Nothing.
Yeah. Nothing.
Marcus from Chingford says it should just be called Bob. No real reason.
He's a simple
that.
Man, isn't he, Marcus from Chingford?
Yeah, as the Olympics are in East London, Lizzie in Chingford suggests we should call it Bow Bell.
Oh, that's good, isn't it?
Nice,
it's in the
that.
East End.
It's quite nice.
If you're born in the in the sound of the East End, you're a Cockney.
I'm not, no.
No, you're not. No, I know, but I fundamentally understood the conversation we had in which you said you're born and bred in Bristol.
Exactly.
So any of those grab you. Bowasis is pretty good. Harry, not bad
either.
You
know, I like Harry Bow.
Harry?
Harry yeah, Bow.
He's looking for sponsorship, ladies and gents. All right, well, we now name your bow Harry. That's what we call Larry Godfrey and Harry the Bow. I have to say the so that we're not advertising. Larry, go into your little little hot pants, pop your little hat on, enjoy today. Larry Godfrey, everybody.
Thanks
so much, guys. We are XFL. Let's get nerdy.
That'd be a good strapline for like an Arnold Schwarzenegger film.
You made it sound a little bit sexy though. I don't think that was what you were going for.
I don't know what. It's like today you've got a strange fascination with me, isn't it?
It's the way you said it.
Pretty pleased this desk is separating us, Dave, because I don't know what could happen. Spring's in the air, you know? I'm feeling it as well. David, what are you angry about and what are you nerdy about this morning?
Oi, laptop, how fast do you think I work? Fair enough, I've not touched you for 5 minutes. Are you that needy that you then must insist on closing down, meaning I then have to log back in every 5 minutes? Be patient. At least give me 10 minutes, because what is 5 minutes between friends?
Well, exactly, Dave. Thank you for that. Hey, Postman Pat rebooters. All right, I've already had to accept that Pat's got a little boy. He's inexplicably called Julian rather than, you know, Paul or Eric or something you'd expect from Pat, meaning he's either just got ideas above his station or he watches Downton Abbey or he's henpecked, you know. Just about accept that RJ seems to run an entire rail network, right? Doesn't seem qualified, but fine. Come on. A helicopter. I know Pat's in the special delivery service nowadays, but come on, a helicopter's no pace. Place for Pat Clifton, is it? No? He can barely drive his van. Who's in charge of HR at the post office these days, and why do they think that's appropriate? It's not appropriate.
We are
XFM. This morning we're asking you to tell it like it is as far as winter is concerned. So let it all come out, the anger, the paranoia, the annoyance. In your face, winter. I'll start. Brad in Acton just says, in your face, winter. You haven't even got a holiday. Summer has. Yeah, summer has. There's no winter holiday, is there?
Yeah.
In your face. Arrogant. The arrogance of winter.
Unbelievable.
Highlighted by Brad there. Gareth says, in your face, winter. No longer shall I be held prisoner by my frosty windscreen, a slave to your bitterness when I go out with my wet hair. Your time has come. Except Winter Wonderland. That was pretty good, he says. Dan the Sparky in Basildon says, in your face, winter. Oh, yeah, you think your short days and your cold nights have got me? No. It's now my time to shine. Yes. You wintry excuse of a season. He follows that up with what I imagine is quite an evil laugh. Can you try and replicate that, Dave? Yeah. In your face, winter, says Fran. Your snow days of white boringness and enforced traffic problems with set snow are over. Spring princess, sparkle us with spring dust and lead us into summer. You could never do that, you winter. Ninny hammer.
Yes.
Quite right. In your face, winter, my shorts are breaking loose. That's from Anonymous. But we'll see them, won't we? We'll see them. Just running around London in their shorts. Dave.
In your face, winter, do one. I want to sit in my garden again. You've had your time. Give it back.
Yeah.
James.
Reclaim the season. Ollie. In your face, winter. We're giving you the cold shoulder today. Nice.
Yeah.
Because that's what winter does to us.
It's
Joe from Dartford. In your face, winter, you mug. Short, simple. Not Joe, the text. Another one?
Yeah, Johnny in Hampton. In your face, winter, you're a fun stealer.
Yeah, you fun stealer.
You are more miserable than that northern plasterer that was on MasterChef.
Oh!
I want to take my shoe off and throw it at you, winter.
Boom! That was a in your face with the left hand, wasn't it? Followed up with an in your face with the right, winter. Says Stu, you can keep your grown men wearing scarves, your welly-wearing women and your panda hat-wearing morons. Spring is here. And with it comes the age of the tight, white tee. Oh, it's good, isn't it?
That's nice.
You got another one to read out there?
Yeah, in your face, winter. No more shall I need 6 layers of unattractive clothing.
Yeah.
No more shall I clutch my morning tea in trembling hands. You're dead to me, winter. Bring on spring, puppy. Yep.
Bring on spring.
London States, wearing an optimistic dress with a fist held high.
Well, I think that optimism has to come to an end now, Dave, because I've just noticed that this can't be real. This can't be real. We've had a text in from Winter.
What?
We've had a text in from Winter. Everyone else, I mean, we had Stu, we had Brad Nacton, Gareth, Dan the Sparky, Ellie, Fran, Callie and Blackheath, all these people, Stephen Woking, Joe from Dartford, Ollie, all these people, letting us know who they are. But there's one. And I can't believe I'm going to say this. There's one just signed Winter. I thought winter was over. I thought I thought we were moving forward, Dave, but no, winter is... Winter is back, and winter... Winter said this.
I am winter. Make the most of your ducklings and Easter eggs, daffodils and gambling lambs. For sure as spring has sprung today, I'll be back with grey skies and doom and gloom, snow, ice and howling winds, when I shall return in August.
You know what we say to winter, Dave?
Mm.
As we look outside at Leicester Square with the golden sun just... creeping around the buildings, the Union Jack of the hotel opposite lit up, making us proud and filling us with strength this morning. We say, in your face, winter.
XFM.
Just thinking about your dilemma. Dilemma, you're clearly not happy here at XFM, Dave.
Right.
Well, you're going off proofreading leaflets.
Yeah. That's true.
Trying to branch out. Will you be adding that to your CV? We were saying producer, XFM Breakfast Show, freelance proofreader.
It'll go in straight to the top.
Straight to the top. Well, here's another thing you could do. I've just seen a job that's being advertised. And I think, actually, there's a couple of jobs here that perhaps we could all, you know, because we got our days after the breakfast show to do other things, you know.
Yeah.
Wanted, a butler for the Queen.
Oh.
Ordinarily, I'd think of Dyson for this, but I think you could do this. You've got quite a regal look to you. Mm. Must be discreet. Oh, no. and able to carry a breakfast tray. You able to do that?
Well, I carry our breakfast bag in the morning. It can't be that much different from that, can it?
It's not. No, it's not. They're very similar. If you're friendly, discreet, and looking for a job, the Queen would like to hear from you. You'd be working at Buckingham Palace as well as Balmoral.
Yeah.
45 hours a week. Queen, one of the richest women in the world.
Yeah.
How much is this job worth?
About a bit, I'd imagine.
£15,000 the Queen is willing to pay.
Oh, really?
Now, we give her a lot of money.
Yeah.
Surely she could up this a little bit. Huh?
Yeah.
How about that? The post is being advertised on the Queen's website. She's always on that.
Yeah.
Trawling the forums.
Yeah, she's a big blogger, isn't she? Always blogging.
Does she Google herself?
Yeah, I'm sure she does.
The Queen.
I wonder if it's on her MySpace page.
Well, she tweeted that last night, that she's closing down her MySpace page. She thinks it's irrelevant.
Yeah.
Friendster is the future, she says. And it says that despite the progressive nature of the royal household, employees are encouraged to train for a City and Guilds diploma in butlering. I did not realise could do that. This is what you'll have to do, Dave. Greet guests, serve drinks at functions in a polite and welcoming manner, ride on the royal carriage and deliver all messages, dispatch boxes, and pouches to members of the royal family.
What year are we in here?
I don't know. Who's sending stuff in pouches? How many pouches do they... What do you pop in a pouch?
I don't know.
It's not a posing pouch. What kind of a pouch? Why wouldn't they just use the standard envelope system that we've cultivated and...
Yeah. Well, maybe they put silver coins in pouches just to give to her.
There you go, Queenie. There's your pocket money. Also being advertised, Matt, and this is where you come in, is the post of linen keeper at Windsor Castle, ensuring that the correct sheets, towels and the like are issued for the Queen. And it's a live-in post. It's slightly less than Dave will get for his butlering. But you will get to work together as a team.
And you've got the rent saving as well there, so yeah.
And free parking.
So that's all right.
Yeah. I can't believe the Queen is saying that free parking is... I mean, she's going to have to wade through a lot of CVs, isn't she? Yes. She's going to be knee-deep in CVs, this woman. Well, you know, perhaps that's something we could look into. It's something for Steve as well.
XFM.
Shall we do our guest who, Dave? Guest who? This is where Dave lines up a mystery guest, mystery caller. Now, someone that will have had something to do with the show over the past week or so, isn't it? Could be someone from a newspaper, maybe it was a survey or some kind of academic study, perhaps it's a celebrity we've talked about. It could be anyone. And I have 60 seconds to guess who it might be. You're giving me no clues here, Dave. You've basically said what I've just said. And I'm like, well, I understand the format. And you're like, well, no, it's someone we've talked about. I'm going, yeah, I say that all the time. Yeah, so it's someone we talked about, but that's all I know. Shall we do it? Shall we just crack on? 60 seconds from now. Caller, are you there?
I'm here.
It's a gentleman with a deep voice. Whereabouts are you? Are you in London?
No, I'm in East Anglia.
You're in East Anglia. Oh, I remember talking about Anglia yesterday. I was talking about Anglia. Anglia was mentioned. Are you somebody? So you've been in the papers?
I have, yes.
And is it you specifically that's been in the papers?
30 seconds.
I'm sort of associated with what was in the papers.
You're associated with it. Are you in charge of something?
I am.
You're in charge of something. Is it a museum of some kind?
No, it's not.
Is it Anglia? What were we talking about? Anglia. I was talking about East Anglia. I was talking about... I haven't managed it. Caller, will you please tell me why I'm talking to you?
I'm Andrew Bullock from Keys Auctioneers in Elgin, Corporate.
I know what it is. Hang on. Is it the earplugs belonging to Winston Churchill?
Indeed it is.
Oh, man. I was on the tip of my tongue. So you are selling... Is it you that's selling... You're auctioning the earplugs worn by our brave and fearless leader Winston Churchill during the Second World War. When he would need his power naps, he would pop in a couple of earplugs.
Absolutely right.
Wow! And don't they come with a free pair of plaster cast Winston Churchill ears?
Yes, the original plaster cast that were taken.
Wow, so you got plaster cast ears, you got the earplugs, which I believe were beeswax.
Yes, they're constructed with sort of the purified beeswax and cotton. And they're actually sort of unlike sort of what we regard as sort of normal earplugs. I mean, they're actually the full sort of shape of the ear. They're almost sort of ear pieces rather than earplugs.
So we have an insight into the inner ear of Winston Churchill.
Yeah.
God. So we've got his earplugs, we've got plaster cast of his ears, we've got his dentures. Do you ever think maybe you should get the DNA out of there and try and reconstruct in a sort of Jurassic Park style way our great leader Winston Churchill?
Well, he might do a lot of good.
He might do a lot of good. Thank you so much for joining us today, and best of luck with the auction.
Thank you very much. We are
XFM. Hello, it's the XFM Breakfast Show with me, Danny Wallace. A vicar's been hospitalised because he had a potato inside himself. Not through traditional means either. Not through eating. Not through that way. Not through the top area. Very much an unwanted intruder, this potato.
Gotcha.
The clergyman in his 50s told medical staff at Sheffield's Northern General Hospital that the reason he had a potato in an unusual area of himself... was, quote, definitely not due to a sex game. So definitely wasn't, okay? Yeah. First thing he said. And they're like, we didn't ask. Well, it wasn't.
It's good to know.
That's what you're thinking. Well, we didn't ask you. Well, it wasn't a sex game. That's what he's saying. And he had to undergo surgery to extract this spud. what he'd been doing, he'd been hanging curtains. Because if I'm hanging curtains,
yeah,
I'm going to be in full view of whoever's outside that window. So I do it naked. Of course I do.
Yeah.
You know, don't hang curtains fully clothed.
It's crazy.
And then reap the benefits of the curtains, the main benefit being people can't see you. Do it nude. Also, yeah. I often keep a single potato just in the middle of the floor. or you know, in case I fall back, because it provides it provides comfort, you know. Or, you know, but this guy, unfortunately, just landed at the wrong angle on the... on the potato safety system.
You should always have at least one potato in full view when you're in the house.
Absolutely. If you're naked hanging curtains, always keep a potato just in full view. Just propped up. Yeah. Not sideways either. Vertical. Prop it up like an egg. Shall we work out what we've learned today? I would say so. Matthew.
Stranger and stranger the XFM Breakfast Show becomes. It's only when you have some time away and then come back with a fresh pair of eyes that you realise it's actually a bit odd. People proofreading leaflets in their spare time. Yeah. Program associate Steve wandering around dressed as a Spanish matador. And then visits from Olympic archers. It's a mad world. Danny and Dave just go on like it's all normal.
You didn't believe that an archer was coming.
I didn't. I thought you were pulling my plonker.
Language. Today's important...
I can't believe I just said that.
Oh, well, that's the promo. Today's important broadcast saw us discussing the endless varieties and options you face when buying a new flu analyzer. Andy the plumber won £500 this morning, which he intends to spend on a new flu analyzer. Trev got in touch, of course, Trev the plumber, to recommend the TPT flu analyzer. It's predictable, wasn't it? While Elliot the plumber opted, of course, for the KPG. What will Andy do? Well... Been looking into it. Logic for Trade, based in Northolt, Middlesex, currently doing the Anton Spirit 6 Intuitive for just £349. Saving Andy a further £1, which he could put towards next year's taxes, though. Having talked to him, I think he's more of a cash-in-hand man, if you know what I mean. As always, Logic for Trade are on 0845 845 7555. That number again, 0845 845 7555. Matt.
And can I just refer you back to my earlier comment about this show being pretty odd?
XFM. So there you go, that was podcast number 34 from the XFM Breakfast Show with me, Danny Wallace. If you're still listening this far, let me tell you, and this will make sense at some point, the password is Raven. Listen to us live every day from 6:30 on 104.9 FM on DAB or at xfm.co.uk to find out why. Bye-bye. Yes, we are XFM. Danny Wallace.